was first an incumbent. My official title back in those days was Team Vicar. Nowhere near Dibley, though. I was at a meeting led by our Archdeacon. Now, in the Church of England, the Archdeacon is effectively the deputy of the bishop. They both have an administrative and pastoral role, which they perform on behalf of the bishop. So it's also a full-time position, and the Archdeacon would often travel around the area to talk to the clergy. The Archdeacon is quite an important person in the Church of England, or as one book described it, they are the crook at the head of the bishop's staff. Anyway, this Archdeacon was speaking to a group of clergy and instructed us that whenever we were asked how we were always to say we were well, and that we shouldn't let on if things were hard. People didn't want to know, he said. If you are having a hard time, keep it to yourself. To which I replied, what about integrity in our ministry? And I got a stony stare in response. It got worse when I corrected him later in the meeting about a matter of law with regards to marriage, but that's another story. There are some expressions of church which have a reluctance to share honestly about how we are and how we're doing. As if being a follower of Jesus means we've got to put on this front of being fine, having it all together. There's definitely in many still a stigma around mental illness, and generally, despite the fact that many of us wrestle with anxiety and with our mental well-being for very good reason in this world that we live in. There is a part of the church that isn't quite so bloodless and flaccid. It does allow some expression of emotion, but sadly, that's the wing of the conservative church that revels in being angry. Angry at liberals, angry at feminism or women in general, angry at abortion, angry at the 2S LGBTQAA++ community, angry at anyone who isn't white or straight or who's foreign. That wing of the church which has been co-opted by the current US regime and by certain elements of the right wing in Canada and Europe. These culture warrior types are those who would be right at home with James and John, not necessarily in tonight's story, but in the other story, which a lot of people know, where they ask Jesus if they should call down fire from above, because these villages have rejected Jesus' message. And Jesus responds, that's not the way we do things. Pretty much in the way that Jesus responds, exactly the same in the request in today's reading that we had from Matthew's Gospel, where these two brave lads get their mother to ask Jesus if they can have a place at his right hand and at his left, when they have places of honor when Jesus brings his kingdom in all its fullness. You really don't get it, says Jesus. That's not what this is all about. My message is about subverting the way that empire does things, about service and not dominance, about humility and not ruling. As Bishop Anna said this morning, it's about turning empire upside down. Which is in part why I believe, and we have multiple examples in our scriptures, that honesty and integrity are to be our standards, not pretense. The idea of pretense is to deceive, to give an impression of strength, to make you seem impervious to harm. This is not the way of Jesus. This is not the way of Scripture. We have a whole book of Lamentations for crying out loud. And just this morning, we heard the shortest verse in the Bible, which is my late father's favorite cuss word, Jesus wept. The authors of our scriptures, the authors of Lamentations, know how to express their pain honestly and deeply. The whole book is a lament for the destruction of Jerusalem. And though it was once ascribed to the prophet Jeremiah, very few still hold that viewpoint. Indeed, many scholars are convinced that this carefully constructed book of woe is probably the work of a number of authors. There's an honesty about the book of Lamentations and a need to own for ourselves what lament is in this current time. In just that opening line of this evening's reading that Ben read for us, we hear, "The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me." These authors do not shy away from expressing honestly pain and loss, and at the same time can hold to a hope that this is not the end of it all. Better days will come again. And that's not a bad message for where we are at this time. We can and should be honest about how it feels to be in the world today, to be in this mess, to be in this crisis, or indeed multiple crises, from war to climate destruction, to the unfettered greed and lack of justice we see, to the co-option of Jesus as a mascot for white supremacy, and not for the first time, to economic woes, to people in poverty, to the crisis of the unhoused, the mentally ill, the traumatized, and to the toxic drug crisis. All these things and more weigh us down and weigh heavily upon us. And it's okay. It's right to be honest about how that feels. And it's okay, too, to have some hope. Hope that this will pass, that people of goodwill working together can and will make a difference for the world, that love will win, though the road may be hard, that this is not the end. And as an unknown author, and it's not Winston Churchill, said, "If you're going through hell, keep going." Amen.